at the beginning of the episode, coronavirus! Coronavirus, y'all! That's what I gotta put on there.
Oh my gosh.
What's going on, my people? You're listening to The Score, an urban music education podcast hosted by Eric and Justin, where we discuss tips and strategies on how to become a more effective, compassionate, and culturally responsive music educator. What's going on, my people? This is Eric.
And this is Justin.
And we're your hosts for
The Score.
Welcome to episode 29, Staying the Course.
My God.
Interview with Kermit Gray. What's going on, Kermit? How you doing, bro?
Hey, yo. What's up, man? How's it going, guys? I'm so excited to be here.
So let's give our listeners a heads up, just in case you hear some type of technical difficulties or some audio blips. Justin and I are trying out our first remote interview via Zoom.
So
hopefully this is gonna work out, and we're sharing some positive vibes and everything that's going on right now with everybody. All the educators are trying to create solutions for their students.
Yep.
Shout out to you guys, and I know we're both in it. Justin and I are both in that work right now. We went back to work today. Trying to make some things happen, but we want to still come and bring you some new episodes, some new content. And today we have Mr. Gray. Now, Kermit, man, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us about your upbringing in regards to K through 12, where you went to undergrad, and your current teaching position.
Okay. Right now I am, they've already introduced me. I'm Kermit. In elementary school, I'm from Dallas, Texas. I started at John Neely Bryan Elementary School. And fourth grade, shout out to my band director, my first band director, Lee Mitchell, introduced me to music in fourth grade. I started on the trombone. That was my first instrument, and I really loved it. By the time I was in fifth grade, I started learning baritone. And by the sixth grade, I was on tuba. Now, I wasn't on a regular tuba. I was on a sousaphone. I'm big guy, but when I was a kid, I was little, and I had a big old sousaphone, and I was sitting in a chair just learning how to play tuba. So, and I figured out I want to just keep on doing it. I went to my first band camp after my fourth grade year in my middle school that I went to, Oliver Wendell Holmes, and I kept on going there. And in middle school, I actually started marching in high school band in middle school. I started doing that. So I was doing a whole bunch. I was playing football. I started to learn how to play tennis and doing marching band. Then it got to a point I was doing so much. My mom said, all right, you got to pick which one you go do. In seventh grade, and I said I was going to do band. And I kept on doing it just to get that taste of being in high school band while in middle school. You know what I'm saying? It was still a lot of stuff I needed to learn, but I seen how fast-paced it was. So by the time I got to high school, I was at the school that I've been marching with for the previous 2 years, my sixth and seventh grade, or seventh and eighth grade year at Roosevelt. My band director up there was Mr. William Robert, and he just really kept it going for me, introducing me as a lot how music can go with band and doing competitions, solo and ensemble, our city, and stuff like that. And I like that aspect of it a lot, just because I knew that I was one of the top players out here in Dallas on my instrument, you know, so that was pretty cool. After I graduated from Roosevelt, I auditioned to go play in the Marching Storm. Prairie View A&M, I met all y'all there. Y'all some cool people, man. All of the cool people that I know, they all in Houston. Met them all there. Shout out to my brother, BJ, Balaji, man, my line brother, LB. Got down there, met all y'all. And it was crazy because I auditioned for my scholarship in the band room that, like, I now work at. Because after I finished my undergrad at Prairie View, I came back to Dallas. And I first started at elementary school. And after my second year, my band director, Mr. Robinson, came up to my school and told me, hey, man, I got a job for you. You need to go get ready for an interview and go fill out the application and everything. So that's what happened. Now I'm at Roosevelt School, the high school I graduated from. I'm the current head band director up there. This is my fourth year. And I've been having a great time, man, just learning the band, how to teach students how to become musicians, teach them instruments from scratch and all of that, man. So it's been a great, great experience for me, man. Then just to have people like Eric and Justin and BJ, I can just call y'all up. Y'all got a wealth of knowledge to help me through this journey, you know what I'm saying? So I'm appreciative of that, man. But, you know, that's really a lot about me, man, in a nutshell. I guess whatever else that'll come out during the interview.
So,
are you guys still there?
Yeah, we letting you talk. We letting you talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as we let all people that we come on the show, and by the way, let's backtrack a little bit. If you hear some children in the background,
he is a father.
He is a father of how many?
I have 6 children in my house.
Wow.
But okay, so here's the story on that. Everybody get you some popcorn. my wife, C. Alexander Gray, I met her down at Preview. And we known each other prior back. But a couple of years later, we got serious down there. And, you know, she told me, she always wanted children. She wanted children. Hey, I'm cool with that. I want kids too, you know. And so we have 3 boys of our own. And then we're also foster parents.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and my wife, she said, when we first got married, she was like, I always wanted to be a foster mom. I wanted to adopt a child. I want to do that. That's something that she wanted to do. And she told me that it's just like, you know, being a supportive spouse, it's like, do you want to do that? Is that something you would like to do? And I was like, yeah, man, that's cool. I don't have a problem with it. You know, this is at the beginning. So fast forward 9 years later, and the opportunity came about for her to get into it, fostering and everything like that. And she went through it. We went through a child placement agency, and we got our first foster placement in, I want to say, of October last year. And it's been going up from there. We're finally about to adopt our own little girl. We're waiting on the paperwork and everything to go through, but it's a green light for her. She's 3. I got right now, and then 2 little babies that came from the hospital. Yeah.
That's amazing,
I have a grand total of 6. I got a grand total of 6 children.
That's amazing,
and they keep
bro.
The life going in here, man. You know, they keep the life going. People be like, how you? Oh, my goodness gracious. How you, man? I work with. First of all, I taught elementary school.
Right.
And I work with kids all day, bro. That's what I do. So, you know.
Yeah, man. That's dope. I think that also extends it to the classroom, man. I think you taking a
lot
of what
you
do at home, pouring into your own children, and then going into that classroom, man, and becoming a father figure, becoming a point of reference for a lot of kids who don't have that home life that your kids have the joy and the blessing to have. So that's dope, bro.
And then I share that. You know, I let my students know because they be asking. They want to be, like, they know. I let when they feel like they know stuff about you like that, like, hey, this is personal stuff. You know what I'm saying? Then they able to relate with me more. They know. And they understand, too. So
that's dope.
Love it.
That's
now,
dope.
You picked the title of your episode called, and you named it Staying the Course. Why Stay the Course?
Okay, so there are things that I always knew that I wanted to do. As far as it was music. It always dealt with music. The way I listen to music, it's just like all genres. I really listen for the background, what's going on in the music and the beats and all of that. I will know a song just solely off the beat, and I would be able to dissect it. You know what I'm saying? I was able to do this as a kid.
Yeah.
And then I knew that, hey, man, I wanted to, that's what I wanted to do. I want to do that. I had people in my family, like my uncles, they did music, had like studios and beat machines. And I see that stuff when I was a young kid, and I'm like, man, I want to play with that and see what it do. I figure out what it do. And so something I always said I wanted to do, was always have my own studio. I wanted to be a music producer, and I know it. So it dealt with music, you know?
Yeah.
And my stepping stone to all of that was band. Yeah. It started from band.
That's awesome.
And I was able to create stuff on my own through my instrument. And I would do stuff like record myself. I had like a karaoke machine. So I plugged the microphone up, and I didn't have anything to hold the mic. I take the mic to the bell of my instrument, and I'd be playing and recording, you know what I'm saying? And doing stuff like recording myself. So I just kept going with band, you know what I'm saying? Because I knew that would get me there to where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Keep staying in with music, you know? So when I went to Prairie View, I majored in music. I knew it was just going to give me the foundation to keep going more in depth in the music, you know what I'm saying? And then it was just a lot of stuff I didn't still know about music going into college. So I just took advantage of, hey, I can go and be a music teacher, or I can go and keep on doing music, keep doing band, you know what I'm saying? That kept me going. And I knew I'd meet people along the way who were like-minded individuals with me, you know what I'm saying? And music and how to make tracks or do this or do that. And so down at Prairie View, my main instrument, I marched baritone, and my main instrument, my study instrument was trombone. And when I got my first computer down there, I tell everybody I'm going to be a music producer. You know, I was majoring in music. I was going to education rap and everything. And I'm going to be a music producer. So I started it down there. Just learning how to do that. And I really put a lot of time into it, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. No, most definitely. Most definitely. I think what you just said is really dope and important, too, because a lot of kids that we encounter are kids that kind of stem from our tree, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think our stories are similar, and we talk about it so much. It's kind of like me growing up in church, and then I can remember the same way you saw the beat machines, me looking at the organ and then reading, you know, CD inserts and being like, man, who produced this song and how they make that beat and how they make the drums do that and line up. And so it was kind of like I was in my own world even when I was in band. You know, I'm back there playing the snare drum, I'm playing the bass drummer, mallets, and it was like I'm a part of creating something that people are listening to. And there's so many kids that come in there that's in band that they don't have this ultra, you know, magnetic connection to classical music. You know, we appreciate it and stuff like that. But they at home on their computers. They at home playing on their keyboard. I remember having a karaoke machine and this old school like recorder where you could slow down the time, and I would buy tapes every weekend. Like my mama would take me to the dollar store, and I'd buy these little like $5 cassette tapes, and I'd go home and just play stuff and then record on this tape and make that tape a dummy and then record.
You know what I'm
saying? And so I know I was probably like one and maybe two other kids in the band that was experimenting with this stuff, or when, you know, Cakewalk and Audacity and all that stuff came out. I was like, man, how does this work? And so being in band, getting those foundational things, it helps me connect with my kids now, because we're more the norm in band now. Like, if I could tell you how many kids that's playing with some type of production thing on their phone, that's experimenting with stuff, like, that's a real thing in the classroom. And so when I'm teaching, whether I'm teaching about how to time or how to lock in time or dealing with, you know, a new voice that's entering in the composition, I can point that right back to a person that's working on production. Like, okay, you just made that synth sound. Don't you go back into the mix and lower that down so it don't overtake, you know, the chorus. So it's just, man, it's great that you said that, bro, because that's a real thing in today's classroom.
Yep. And my biggest thing is, so I still, here on me at Preview, I was like, man, I'm going to be a big producer. I'm going to get it. And I'm going to make, you know, make stuff happen. And that's what I'm going to do solely. I graduated, and then if that hadn't happened yet, so I was like, oh, man. I started to have my kids, my children, my family.
Yeah.
I need to support them.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I did just get a degree in music. You know what I'm saying? I'm finna be a teacher. I want to do that. And then my wife was pushing me to do it. We both did it. You know what I'm saying? We was going, let's go apply and be a teacher. And I've realized, even though in my head, when I was down there, I was saying, man, I don't want to be no teacher. I don't want to do that. But I realized that was something that I was really good at, was just teaching people. You know, like, I can teach you how to do this. I can teach you how to do that. Down in Preview, I did it. So I was just like, why not go ahead and do it here? So my first gig was at Carpenter Elementary. And I thought I was going to be a band director, you know, just coming through gate. And I got to elementary school, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, what I got to do? I had these little kids. I had to teach them choir. I've never done this before. It wasn't no instruments because they took elementary band out, a DISD. So we just doing general music. I was like, okay, I can do this. It's easy. They want to have a choir. They want to have them do a bunch of other stuff. Choir. I didn't never do choir before. So it's just a lot of research I had to do. Like, I was like, man, I should have gotten a choir or something. I didn't know where to start with that.
Yeah.
So this is a program I'm a part of out here. It's Little Kids Rock. I don't know if y'all heard of that before, but go to littlekidsrock.org. And essentially what they do is you go to a training and they try to play the guitar right there. Like right there, it's a whole lesson on how to implement this curriculum into your program that you're at. And before I did that, I never played the guitar before in my life. And it was so simple and easy, you know what I'm saying, the way they taught it. It's like, man, I can teach this to little kids and they'll get it. They still have the theory and everything's in there, but it's just a more simplified way just to get the kids to create sounds on the instruments right there at first try and have good success at it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And after I did it, I got credits and I was able to order guitars. I had ordered like a class set, 20 guitars. I ordered a drum set. And I ordered some electronic keyboards, microphones, you know, just that have in my elementary class. This is what I had in my elementary class. So I started teaching them guitars, and it was real easy. And then I started implementing the stuff that I do with the production, bringing it up there and recording the kids. So that recording of whatever it is they're singing, you know what I'm saying? I created a backing track for our school song at the elementary
school. Wow, nice.
You know what I'm saying? They was playing it on the on the announcements and stuff in the morning. You know what I'm saying? It was stuff that had never happened there before. And I was like, hey, man, this is really dope, you know? So when I got the chance to move to the next level and it's incorporated up there, like, you know, it was cool because I know the high school children, they learn at a very fast speed and they pick up things. And then, like you said, just it's stuff that they are already doing.
Yeah.
It was stuff that we was doing when we was in school.
right.
As we take a break from our discussion, we're jumping into the segment called In Rotation. During this time, each of us will get an opportunity to share what we're currently listening to. Favorite artists, genre, album, playlists. If you have any recommendations, drop us a line on our social media platforms at PodTheScore or send us an email, podthescore@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. In rotation, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so I have Una Peda Con El Viejo by Banda Los Recoditos. And the reason I'm bringing this tune up, right? I had to roll my R's to make sure that y'all know I speak Spanish. My father actually, so what it translates to is pretty much like a drunken night with my father. But admittedly, my father's been in recovery for the past 35 years, so he's been sober from any alcohol or drugs for the past 35 years. And but the essence of that song or what it talks about is kind of this communication factor that at times doesn't exist within Latino families, especially within the father and the son. And the lyrics are all talking about, like, I spent this evening with my dad and it was an in-depth conversation. And he talked to me about how he misses his mother, the motherland. And he told me stories about my grandfather and how he's a great person. And so this really resonated with me right now as my dad is fighting cancer right now and kicking its ass. And I'm gonna say
that's
it like
dope.
That.
That's dope.
I haven't mentioned that very much, or actually a lot of people don't know that. But I kind of wanted to share that because this song right here, so it really resonated with he and I, and because we both watched on YouTube together one day, and now my son sings it. And so although he's not completely saying all the words correctly, but he's mouthing out some of the words. But so that's Una Peda Con El Viejo by Banda Los Recoditos. Justin, what you got?
So right now, in the midst of all of the things that's happening right now, it's also affecting another place that I do music in, which is the church. And so the different ministries that I'm involved with, we're working through, you know, how do we get online and how do we make our worship service the same and effective? And so I was tagged by a good friend of mine on Instagram, you know, all these challenges going on. She was like, tag your favorite praise and worship song right now. So I've been listening to this song like every week called Never Be Defeated by Rich Tolbert. And it's just a super dope song, just talking about, you know, no matter what's going on, you'll never be defeated because of the power of God that lies within you, man. And so it's just kind of been my anthem, just to bring some sense of calming to a state of worry that's happening in the world, that, you know, it's this too shall pass. So Never Be Defeated by Rich Tolbert. That's what I'm rocking right now.
And Kermit, what you got for us?
What I'm listening to right now is Jason Lyric. This is one of my artists that I produce for out here in Dallas. This is my main artist that I actually produce for. His name is Jason, Jason Lyric, Lyric. And his most recent drop is Cashmere Done. Is a follow-up for his previous album Billy Goat.
Okay.
And this one is Cashmere Done, man. It's some real nice soulful sounds on there. I also got some records that I produced on there, you know, and I'm just in a really good spot with this album. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's one of the best work that we done did. And everybody's gravitating to it. It's real dope, man. So Jason Lear, man, go check it out. And he got a catalog on there for you too. When you hear that, just go back and listen to more Billy Goat Lyric Show, Brick by Brick series, all of it, man. He got some real dope music.
All right, we're back. So Kermit, I've obviously hit you up because now I am realizing more and more that the current age of students, whether that be K-12 or even undergrads or in college right now, I'm seeing more and more students doing music production on their own, something that I don't think was as prevalent during our time or even prior to us. And so I'm seeing it on more than one occasion. And so one day I just kind of asked my jazz band at Prairie View, hey, how many of y'all mess around with some music production? And I kid you not, I guess like 90% of the band raised their hand, and I was in shock.
That's dope, man.
You know, and so then I started, you know, I started thinking about what you're doing, and I've connected you with some of our students, and I want to, because at times what's happening right now is this conversation of, and I think you might have gone through it because I know I did, is I didn't know how to bring in my DJing into this music education formal side of music.
Yeah.
And then my students also, one of them openly said, I want to be a music producer, sir, over being a band director. And I kind of said, why not both? So you obviously have been doing both and doing both very well.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned some of your rates to me at TMEA, and I was kind of like, okay. Yeah. So what things are you doing in your classroom that could aid a music educator that might be thinking, you know what, I don't even know where to start. I don't own any equipment. What programs do I use? Yeah. How can I even sell this to my principal, et cetera, et cetera. So what comes to mind when you think about giving some tangible strategies to music educators on how you can implement music production into a traditional classroom in regards to like band, orchestra, choir, or even some of the things that you've done in your school?
Okay, well, one of the main things that we would have to do, I say that we do, is just realize the age that we're in as far as technology and how far it goes. Like when you see, I see my students every time, every day I see them and they either got their phone in their hand and they have some AirPods or some type of earphones in their ear, walking around the school all day, you know, in the school, it's like, well, you need to get your AirPods out your ear. And I understand for like, if you're in math or you're in English. But in my classroom, you know, I tell my kids, and this, I go to give them assignments to do from their phones or things like that. Obviously we do that. We have to do it now with Google Classroom. But the things that I can show them, hey man, we make music. We can make music on our phones. All you got to do is download this app. And they'd be like, what? For real, mister? I'm like, yeah, it's real simple. And just the fact that they have that resource right there in their hand, that's one thing that I use off top. So like the DAW that I use is Reason. I've been using Reason since version 2. And it's now on version 11, and that's my main one. So they have an app that they put out on their own phones, iOS, and it's Reason Compact. So it's devices that we use inside of the program. If you have it on a computer, and they condensed it down to where you can do it on your phone, come up with ideas and stuff like that on your phone right there on the spot. And it sounds really dope, especially if you got some headphones on and you can hear what's really going on. So that's one thing that I use because it's so always readily available, their phones. And then my first year at Roosevelt, I actually had a music technology class. So of course they didn't give me the computers that I wish I could have had, but they gave me some computers, they gave me a Cal, and it had laptops in it. So what I was able to do was go, and this was like 2 years ago before everything that's going on now, I get access to the Google Classroom and type in my student's name, add them out to a classroom. And it's one site that I was using. It's called soundtrap.com. I don't know if people have really heard of that before, but it's a pretty dope online tool. And then especially if you're a teacher in the classroom, you can log in with your district ID if you're using Google Classroom through there. They create an account for you. And essentially what I do is start introducing the students to music production. Hey, this is a DAW. And in here we can create loops or whatever. I can actually get my box and record you playing an instrument and put it in here. We can make stuff on our own. It's very easy. I send out assignments to them. It's all through Google Classroom. And that gets me interested. And it gets the students interested too, because a lot of them, like Eric said, they're already doing it. You know what I'm saying? Some of my kids, I know there's one student that walks around my school with his laptop in his hand and his headphones on, and he's always making beats.
Wow.
And this is, he tells me, and he'll let me hear his stuff. He plays like electronic music, you know, and that's what he does. You know what I'm saying? So let me go ahead and do this in the classroom. I can teach a lot of students how to do it, how to record. My first introduction to music technology, it started, well, I was making beats. I always had my computer. I had my little production studio set up in my dorm. I tried to get the loudest speakers I can possibly do. And I'll make beats on my own inside the phases, you know. But I took the music tech class at Prairie View. Jeff Freeman, he was over it. He showed me, I used to record seminar when we had seminars. So he showed me how to set up the mics and all of that stuff. And record everything it did, switching the tracks, making sure it's clean, it's cut, and all of that stuff, messing with the levels. That was my first introduction to it at Prairie View. So, like, I really took pride in doing that job because I enjoyed it. And then some of the times, I remember Prof Ed, rest in peace, Prof Ed, he used to have us record the band sometimes. Well, we had to record for the Foxes. So I would do that, go grab the system out and set it up and record the band so they have something for the Foxes to practice too. So it's something that I did it in my classroom now. It's showing the students how to do it with, you know, not a lot of resources.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can, and just try to make it as simple as possible and as accessible as possible. You know, that's what I'm in the process of doing right now. Just setting up my whole Google Classroom again for my students. I'd put out a post on Instagram for them to see. I said, our class is about to turn into a music tech class. So make sure you guys are checking your Google Classroom. And I'm going to send them a couple of links. And they're going to get started with learning the program on their own and all of that, you know.
You mentioned a few programs. What were they again?
The one that I use mostly, I can use all programs. To me, they're pretty much the same. It's just like the buttons just being different places, you know, as long as I know how to record. But mine is Reason. It's by Propeller Head, Reason Studios. And I've been using that one for really the whole time I've been producing. I haven't used anything different. I dabble with Logic and stuff like that. But I use Reason for myself. And then the site that I go to for my students is Soundtrap. And it's soundtrap.com. And it go through a whole tutorial for the students, introducing them to what's going on, how we're doing the sounds, what are we working with, what is this type of synth, what is this type of drum, and stuff like that. And then with the program that I use, Reason, they also have a application on your phones. It's called Reason Compact, and I use that. I have my students go download that as well. It's free, and then you can purchase other stuff if you would like. But just to get them a good introduction to it, you know, it works.
I love it because you mentioned a few things about accessibility. And I think that's a big one because I think when people think of music production, obviously we think of these big music studios that we see in movies. And, you know what I mean? It's like
those days in the past.
Yeah, with a 64 channel mixer. And, you know, and it's like, how am I, you know? And so I love that you were able to say that you know, because you're in inner city Dallas, you know, one of the smaller high schools, correct?
Yes.
You know, so obviously funding is lower just with the sheer number of enrollment, but you're also serving a high lower income population. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, so all that to say, you've had success even with providing these resources that students, like you said, have their phone and their headphones in their, you know, in their pocket and their ears 24/7 unless they're told otherwise.
Yeah.
And so when I brought this up to you, and obviously I tap into you a lot when with our students that feel that their identity in music production or in any type of informal music, whether that be in DJing or they gig on the side and play R&B, like all these things that at times they feel in music school, that a part of their identity, like I did, doesn't fit the mold. So now that you're in the work and you've been teaching for several years, what things that we get taught on the formal side of music education have helped you with your music production?
Okay, well, this is the first and foremost thing. Before I came to Prairie View, I've never played or been taught piano. So my freshman year when I got there, I had to do piano one. That was my first introduction to piano. And it's like, oh, this is where C is. Like, and I've always looked around on the piano when I was a kid. That was always a piano, but I just never learned how to play it. I was focused on playing the trombone, you know, all the brass instruments. So when I got to that preview and I enrolled in piano one, Dr. Kanish was the teacher. And we started learning through there. That was my first introduction to how the piano works. And all I needed to really get an understanding on was major and minor and how that worked. And I went and took, I got some money, went and bought me a keyboard myself. And I knew those were the things that I needed as far as to get, have me a successful production. All I needed was a laptop and a MIDI. So I took the stuff that I learned from piano, hand placement, learning how to build chords, and I started in putting that into my music production. So like every little thing that I learned in music theory, the tonal harmony book, you know, they was telling us these type of chords and this and that. I was just like, oh man, that's what this is. And being able to think about how I would play my instrument or make something sound my instrument, I want to try to put this feeling out into whatever it is making right now. You know what I'm saying? I understood things like doing phrases within my beats and making them all seamless, you know what I'm saying? Because I knew that's how we're supposed to do it on our instrument, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted to be as real of a feeling possible. So that was something that I really took from it. Just every little thing that I learned as far as theory and making sure I understood, hey, that this is in this key, this is the relative minor. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I can do that. Because, you know, Justin, you know, you do it, how you can... We can get stuff done fast, you know what I'm saying? Versus, and that really helped me, you know what I'm saying? And like professionally, when people see the level of musicianship that, you know, the things that I can do, I understand this. I can actually read a piece of music, or you give me a score or a chart. If we're in a studio setting, I know what to do immediately, you know what I'm saying? Or when I'm playing the keyboard, if people ask for feel what certain keys feel like, that's the type of stuff that I translate over into my production, man. And I try to just get it into my students, like that. I tell them some of the stuff that I done did, I produced, and they be like, "You're lying, mister." And they high school students, and I just be like, okay. And I go pull it up on YouTube, and I pull it up, and they be like, "Dang, mister, you did that for real?" I'm like, yeah. I say, this, you hear the tag, you know, that's the name of my company, my production company, or my publishing. You know, I tell them that, they be like, oh man, that's tight. And then I go and tell them, y'all, none of this wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have been in band. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understood. I tell them that. And then that's something I get them hooked on, like, and realize that. And then I realize that a lot of them like the music that they listen to, and they like beats and stuff like that. I be like, man, it started for me and band. Yeah. And then I make them believe more when some days I unhook my stuff from the house and I bring it up there to the school, right there in front of them, open up the
program. That's awesome.
She's like, oh man. So, you know, I got a couple of them hooked on it, and just like, bro, I let them know that, man, the music that we doing in marching band and all, it's way more than that. For me, especially for me, I can create my own music, you know. So I let them know that this was the basis of it, you know what I'm saying? And they do it too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that's amazing, because I think in the classroom, you showing them that there's this other way that I make music, right? Like, of course, when I come here, I stand on the bandstand, I'm making sure you're playing your entrances right, you're breathing right, we're, you know, locking in long lines if it's supposed to be short, but then you're showing them this other format where you're like, I'm making music and I'm not doing something different in terms of what I'm teaching you. It's just coming out a different way. The same way I want you to end in a four-measure phrase, the same way I want you to release properly, I want to make sure that this sound doesn't overlap this next idea that's being introduced. I want to make sure these drums are like locked in and making the song sound amazing. And I think that the title of this episode, Staying the Course, is just it's like what you've illustrated through this whole time we've been talking, is that everything that you've done has been a journey into getting where you are now, but it has not been the quote unquote normal journey that we would talk about in music ed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think sometimes we feel safe in this circle. Like, me and Kermit can talk all day about, or me and Eric, you know, all of us, we could talk about how, you know, Eric DJing and what he's doing, how that sparks something in his head when he's behind his horn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for us, that is something that we have that a lot of directors don't have, because most directors, learned music, started music, and this is how I got into music, by playing an instrument. You know what I'm saying? And for us, it's kind of like I'm doing this because it allows me another stream or another avenue to create music. And I'm taking what I'm doing here and investing it somewhere else. And I think it's important, man, when you said that sometimes you bring the equipment to the school. I remember teaching at Hamilton, and I remember bringing up, you know, my laptop and bringing my keyboard and playing beats for kids and jazz band and stuff like that. And that's that investment where kids are like, wait a minute. Like, you know my life. You know what I'm saying? And so then when we got to lock in, and it's a few weeks before UIL, we trying to lock in this piece for marching band, like there's a connection there because you're not just a person that teaches me music, but you kind of live in this fairy tale world. Like, no, you teach me music, and you make your own music. You listen to stuff. You asking me what I'm listening to. Then, like, one of the things that I appreciate is when kids give me songs to go home and listen to. They be like, hey, Mr. McClain, you should check out this piece. And then when I come back and I be like, yo, I checked that piece out. It's in this key. I'm going to play it for you. Don't you like, oh, I like this chord when they go to this chord. And kids are like, how did you learn that? I was like, it's because I'm in here. It's because I'm in here. You know what I'm saying? So that's man, that's major.
Yeah, it's major. Bro, it's just been a part of my life. Look, my mom in the church. It's the one thing I wish I would have did, just get in the. If I was, when I was younger, I sung in church choir, but I just didn't consistently do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something that I wish I would have did, like, when I was younger, just to be in it, because I see a lot of church people, church players, musicians, and they be cold. Like, I was just like, man, same. I wish I could do that. Look, my mama, she used to sing in the DFW Mass Choir, bro. And we would go.
That's crazy, man. I grew up on that, man.
The practices, and they would be in their eyes just like, oh my goodness, bro.
Kill
what
it.
Is going on?
Kill
I
it.
I love it, bro. I love
Tell
it.
Tell you, man.
My first time playing man. Live, Justin, you know, like, this is something that I picked up after prayer again, and it just dealt with me producing and running, like, my own band. With my artist Jason Lyric, he likes to perform with a lot, bro. So my first time I play the keys on his shows with him, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's my first time.
That's amazing.
Like, the first show we did that I performed with him was at House of Blues, bro. I was just like, oh man, hey, this is my first
That's
time
amazing,
doing this.
Bro.
This is how it feels. You know what I'm saying? So it made me want to do more. And
I
teach my students, like, bro. I like a lot of them. They always ask me, Mr. Gray, you think I can probably learn how to play the trombone now? But this is one of my phone players. And I'm like, you know what, bro? That's a good idea. I think you can learn stuff and put it in different scenarios and, like, this just music period. What we do, like, I get paid to do the stuff that I do, the stuff that I love to do.
Right.
The stuff that I love to do. That's why I don't be tripping. I love going to work. Y'all don't
understand. Yeah, man. That's good, man.
I get to go in the band room all day, and I'm around music all day, 24/7. This is what I do. Like, I couldn't ask for nothing else. You know, so I could be working at somewhere that's not as fun as this. But, you know, and I just really try to put that in with my students, man, and try to take as much as you can in right now. Like,
that's amazing,
whatever
bro.
It is you can.
So, man, we want to thank you, bro. Obviously, man, you're our brother. You know, we go back since 05 and 06, both respectively, myself, you being my crab brother, and Justin coming 1 year after us. The things that you're able and make yourself available for me and my students now at Prairie View that we can kind of still pour into. And I really want to kind of change that narrative that music production can live simultaneously and enhance both the formal aspect of learning music the way we do it in the United States with the Eurocentric method, but at the same time that it feeds both sides of the aisle, that your music production can not only enhance that, but then the formal training, like you said, enhances your music production side of things. Yeah. And both of you guys have experienced doing that. And I've heard it in your music. You know, I can hear the influence of sitting in a wind ensemble. I can hear the influence of a drumline cadence in your music. And then, you know, the musicians that you and I, that we share, you know, when we got put on them for Snarky Puppy that you started listening to their stuff.
Oh,
and
my,
you know what I mean?
Gracious.
So exactly. So all that to say, man, I want to give you a huge shout out for being who you are. The music educator, the father.
Man.
I mean, if any of you listeners are bothered by the sounds that you might have heard in the background from his house, you can pause the episode and move around, because that's huge. He's obviously abiding by what we're asking us to do right now, and then shelter in place for Dallas right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I want to acknowledge you. I want to affirm you for the father, for the music educator you are, for person that you're willing to be for others. I can't thank you enough. Justin, what you got for him, man?
Man, Kermit is he good people, man. I've never told anybody this, but one time, this was when I was in the marching band, you know, I'm trying to get through my crab year. It's crazy. And we had a crazy rehearsal. Like, we was there all night. One of our section leaders who will go unnamed, he was getting on everybody. He was just going to town. I was like, what is happening? So I'm sitting in front of Hobart, and I'm just like, I'm upset. I'm just like, what am I doing? And I remember him coming up. I don't even think he remembered this. He came up to me. He was like, bro, you got to do what you need to do to get where you want to be. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. And so when I see Kermit doing what he's doing, and the fact that we connect on so many levels as far as music production, and, man, you heard this record. Did you hear the drums that Kanye used on this record? Like, that fact, and the fact that he's committed to learning, that's what I heard in this interview, is when he said, you know, when I got back to my high school, like, it's just a time for me to learn. I think that's what we miss out on a lot of time as educators, because we're so caught up in making sure our kids know this. You need to know how to sight read. You need to know how to do this. But we forget that we need to keep learning to not only be quality to our kids, but to also just be great to the community that we serve, man. So shout out to Kermit, man. Man, I look up to you in a major way, bro. I appreciate you being on this episode, man.
I appreciate y'all for considering me being on this, bro. This is big. But let me tell y'all, too. Y'all killed it down there at TMEA, man. I was there, and I didn't go the year before, but when I seen it, I said, you're doing a podcast, and I'm doing a session. I said, oh, my goodness, I got to go be there. This is major right here. Where, like, y'all set some stuff up for the following years to come down there as far as music educators. And coming from this side of the world that we at, it's bro, y'all doing some good stuff, man. I'm glad y'all let me be on here, man. Oh, let me do this real fast. I'm gonna tell y'all some of the records I've produced. I don't want y'all to people for listeners, so y'all can go check them out. I produced for Chris Sales, DJ Chose, Jason Lyric. We got a song that we did, it was a couple of years ago, with Trippy Red and featuring Lil Wayne and Lil Twist, Fires and Desires. Y'all go check out some of those things. It's a real cool song, man. And just for like the people that's right now, if y'all in college and y'all say you want to be a producer or do it, go ahead and be a producer, but make sure you go and get your. So you can keep on going outside of this, because it's way more than just the producing. And then a lot of things really don't go to how you think they're going to go. That don't go that way, man. So you got to make sure you master your instrument. And then the rest of this stuff. Look, I seen Dr. Pardo virtual flute thing that class he did, Eric. And the way he was recording, and first of all, his setup, in
dope.
The back, I was like, man, say this dude right here, I know he know what he's doing. Like, as far as technology and everything, I can just look at everything he had back then and say, like, oh yeah, that's it. You know what I'm saying? So just figure out how you gonna incorporate that when you finish your degree at Prairie View or wherever it is you're at in school. Think about how you're gonna incorporate that with what you do after. Because remember, I believe people go to get a higher level of education is because they want to be teachers and stuff like that. Even though that's not may not be your mind, you still have to teach somebody else later on down the road. Like how to do this or what to do this. It don't matter, that's what we're doing. This world is forever teaching itself. And that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So make sure you keep it going. And don't give up.
So how do people get in touch with you?
Okay, you can follow me on Instagram at K Gray, what it do? That's everything spelled out. K Gray, what it do? Not ghetto, like, well, W-A-T, I-T-D-O, K, the letter K, Gray, G-R-A-Y. Kermit Gray on Facebook. And email me, kgraywhatitdo@gmail.com. Man, people got loops or you want to collab, I'm always up for a collab. I stay in that email. And if you just got questions about how you're navigating, trying to navigate this or whatever it is, just hit me up, man. kgraywhatitdo, Kermit Gray, search me on everything, you'll find me.
Appreciate it. Big shout out to Kermit. Check us out. We're going to keep bringing episodes out to you guys. Even if they're remotely, we're hoping everybody is safe. We're hoping everybody's adjusting and being flexible to what's happening right now.
Social distance.
That's what we're doing.
Exactly. All right, y'all.
All right, man.
This has been another production of The Score. Connect with us on social media at PodTheScore. Send us an email, podthescore@gmail.com, or visit our website, revivalmusicproject.org. If you've enjoyed this episode, do us a huge favor. Rate and review us. This will help us reach even more listeners. Intro music by Justin McLean. The rotation and outro music by Ben Borges. And as always, let's continue to impact these lives through the vehicle of music.